Welcome to Small Town, your hometown podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gaff. Today we are going to talk about what being saved looks like. First of all, I want to shout out to everybody listening and supporting this ministry. It's always appreciated. I love how we are growing our little small town. We've got over 1,000 downloads, hitting a lot of strides. So I really want to appreciate all of that. So let's dive right into what being saved looks like. So how should it look like once we repent and we are saved? What should it look like? Should it all be, you know, roses and everything good and everything happens with no problems? We have no issues. Everything is bright and sunny. Is that how it should look once we're saved? I know some people on YouTube and some other podcasters out there sometimes like to say that, no, it's, you know, you're not going to have that much struggles because you're in God's graces now. And so the struggles aren't going to be as bad because you can lean on Christ. And so therefore, it's not going to be as bad as if you weren't saved. And I beg to differ. And I say this because if you read Acts, if you read about Paul, and Paul's life, it didn't get better for him. I mean, there were some bright spots, but to be honest, it didn't get better for him. In fact, he was persecuted more. He had more issues than he did before. So I would say to you that if you think that once you're saved, it's going to be, you know, green grass and everything like that, I think you're going to be sadly mistaken. And I think that's what some people have. They get into their first struggle once they're saved. They don't have that background to understand that, hey, this is going to happen. I need to go to the Bible. I need to go with friends and discuss, and I need to dive deeper into that. And so when they do hit that rough patch, it's a real stumbling block for them in their faith, especially when they're new. So let's look at Paul, or initially he was called Saul. And kind of look at his life just a little bit, not a whole lot. We're not doing an in-depth study on Paul. But we can kind of see where, you know, once he was saved, once Christ came to him, opened up his eyes, in a very odd way, you're going to see that it didn't really get better for him. So let's go right off. Okay. So let's look at Paul. He was originally called Saul. Saul persecuted early Christians. So he was not one of the original, disciples. So he was one that was actually visited by Christ after Christ had ascended into heaven. So once Christ left to go back into heaven with his Father, he actually came back down, ascended. The ascended Christ or Jesus appeared to him in a great bright light and basically struck him blind. So Paul is now, or Saul is, blind. So now he has to go to Damascus to get his eyesight restored. So it took him 3 days before it was restored. And Paul began to preach that Jesus of Nazareth is the Jewish Messiah and the Son of God. You can find all of that, basically this whole story, that whole little thing, in Acts 9, 20 to 21. So approximately half of the book of Acts deals with Paul's life and works. And so I really encourage you, if you're new in your faith, and you really want to see what that can look like, a good turnaround of one's life, I would suggest reading the book of Acts. So before converting, before he was Paul, this was Saul, Saul had money, he had power, and a great life. Basically, you know, he could kind of do what he wanted. He didn't really have to worry too much about who thought of anything, because he was a very powerful man back then. Because Christians feared him, as when he converted, a lot of the disciples before, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, really were hesitant to trust Paul because of his background. And that's what we kind of have to look at. Some people's backgrounds are not going to be the same of ours. So it could be somebody who had maybe a drug issue that got clean and found Christ. We need to make sure that we understand that some people's backgrounds, it doesn't matter as long as they have true faith. So, you know, you have to think of that. So after he was converted, Paul or Saul had a great life, but after he converted, he was jailed, he was beaten, he was starved, basically beheaded as well. So that's not a good day. But why do that? Why on purpose would you make your life worse? Why would he knowingly take this down, knowing that he's taking up a cross that is going to eventually kill him? Because back then they were persecuted. He knew this. Nowadays, yes, there are some persecutions throughout the world of Christians, but not nearly like there was back then. You can basically, around the U.S. and most of Europe, and you're not going to get issues or anything like that. You go to some Asian countries, then yes, you will get persecutions to where you might be concerned. So you've got that going on. But for the most part, Paul or Saul knew what he was doing when he converted, when he saw the light, which is funny because he was blinded and then he saw the light. Reminds me of a good, music song, a song that I know. So anyway, why does he do it? Because we do not work for earthly riches. And Paul realized that all of the stuff that he was working for here on earth was not going to matter. Because once he passes away, it's nothing. It's not his. He can't take it with him. We work for heavenly riches from our King. So not saying that our works gets us into heaven, but we do need to listen to what Christ says we need to do, and we do need to preach. We need to pass the word along. We need to minister to other people. We need to help the sick. We need to help the elderly. We need to do all of that. Love those as though, we love ourselves. Paul understood that things were going to be hard, but hard things lead to great things. So I like to always look at like the diamond issue. You take coal and you compress it. You put a lot of pressure on it. You put a lot of heat on it, which is not always a good thing. Normally you don't do that. And then what comes out, you've got this beautiful diamond. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. We're going to be pressed. We're going to be put to the fire, put to the test here on earth, so that when we finally pass and go to heaven, hopefully that we are diamonds. Right now we're diamonds in the rough. We're not there yet, but eventually we hopefully will, as long as we abide by Christ, we repent, we make sure that we stay active in our ministries, stay active in our things that we do in our church, in our community, and stuff like that. So we always want to look at ways that we can advance the ministry. So it's either through like podcasts, like what I do, doing online video for the church. That's another thing that I do, produce videos of things to uplift people and give a good Christian background. That's another thing you can do. You can help out at nursing homes, reading to them. You could read the Bible to them. You could, which for the most part, the elderly, the older generation grew up reading the Bible. So for them, that wouldn't be uncommon. Nowadays, it's a little uncommon, or it's uncommon for people to have read the full Bible for some reason. They do a lot of small works here and there and reading, but they don't always read the full Bible, which is a little odd sometimes, but that's okay. However you get your message. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll kind of read some messages or some verses that kind of coin to this, and then we'll wrap it up. And that will be the first episode of season 2. I'm excited. I'm super stoked about having a season 2. So we'll be right back. And welcome back to Small Town with Matt Gaff. We are talking about what it looks like or what it means to be saved nowadays. And so we were talking about Paul, the Apostle Paul. which most of his life you can read in the book of Acts. So we're not going to get into detail. We did in the first part. So this part, we're just kind of going to go over some other verses that kind of allude to the fact that we are actually working for our heavenly riches, not our earthly riches. We can't take it with us. That's a proverb that everybody's heard. You can't take it with us. So when we leave this world, whatever we leave stays behind. So the only thing that's going to stay is our legacies, our works that we've done for other people, and the memories that we've created with them. That's really it. That's what stays. Everything else either gets taken by the government or by other people or whatever. So let's talk about Proverbs 27, verse 24. So it's, "For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations." So here we're once again talking about that the stuff on earth is going to stay here. It doesn't matter once we get to heaven. It's all going to be for not what we did down here as far as riches. Now, what it's not talking about is the good works that we've done. Now, once again, I want to challenge you that good works does not necessarily get you into heaven. That's not the way to heaven. Forgiveness, grace, mercy, and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what gets you there. However, we are commissioned by Christ to do good works in the world, to press upon his ministries. So the work you do on this earth is necessary, and we are, you know, asked to do it. So Matthew 19, verse 23. "And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." And the reason that that's the case is that a lot of times, you know, we had the parable where Christ is talking to a rich king, and the more and more Christ talks to him, the more and more we realize that the king didn't worship Christ, he worshiped his money. He wanted more money because he felt that if he had more money, he could do more good. And that's not necessarily the case. More money does not equal more good. You can have somebody who has a lot of money, but if they don't give back, if they don't have that giving heart, then what's the point of all that money? So sometimes the poorest person is the ones who sacrifice the most in the name of Christ. You'll see that a lot with in the homeless community. You'll know somebody will get like an extra coat from somebody just because someone felt that they needed it, and they'll pass it along to somebody who does need it. There's a lot of sharing within the homeless community because they don't have a lot, and so when they get something, they share a lot of times. Now, not all the time, but that is the case. We also have the proverb where, you know, one person gave money, and then a poorer person gave not as much, and Christ had said, you know, she gave truly, you know, she gave more than he did. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." So once again, you know, we get our inheritance through Christ, through his mercy and glory and all of that. So, and then also Ephesians, that was written by Paul. So he was writing that to the Ephesian people. Finally, we're going to talk about Matthew chapter 6, and it's actually verse 19 through 21. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So here again, Matthew is talking about, well, actually, it's Christ who's talking this, but Matthew wrote it down. Christ is basically saying, once again, anything you store here on earth is going to either get stolen, going to rust, it deteriorates. Nothing lasts forever here on earth. What we are working for through the ministry and spreading the good news of Christ is building that which won't be destroyed up in heaven. So, you know, volunteering at the church to help out, or volunteering and then adding that little extra, you know, when you do, like, say, coach soccer, you know, maybe pray before, or maybe make a Bible verse here or there or something like that, you know. You know, when you help somebody at the VA or something like that, and you just kind of slip in a little Bible verse, it's those little seeds. That's what we're building. That's what we're adding. That's what we're giving back to Christ. And so what we need to do is focus on what we can do to push forward the ministry, not what we can do to push forward ourselves. Now, that's not to say that we need to make sure that we spend all our money on ministries and not save anything back. I'm not suggesting that you give money to ministries just to give money, all right? Because you still need to provide food for yourself. You need to provide a shelter for your family. You need to provide essential stuff. That still needs to happen. And someone sowing a $1,000 seed somewhere is not going to help necessarily anybody. You need to really invest and look at the ministries that you submit your money to. Are they a firm foundation on Christ, or is it more of a feeling? Once again, we talked about when you get saved, when you finally realize that you've sinned, you will always sin, but because of God's good grace and mercy, we are redeemed. Does not mean that it's going to be sunshine. Nowhere does Christ or God say in the Bible that you will be rich on earth. There's nowhere where they say that. So when someone tells you, sow that seed and and you'll get, you know, 10,000 back or whatever, once again, that is very scary. So I wouldn't necessarily listen to that type of a message. I'm not here to tell you that it's going to be easy. It's going to be hard a lot of times. You're going to be pushed to do something that you're uncomfortable with, or possibly you're going to have to choose between some things that's very hard to choose from. Do you want to go to that basketball game with your friends, or do you want to go to the mission and help the homeless? You know, there's a lot of pull back and forth. There's a lot of hard decisions. You know, do you want to get to bed at 8, or do you want to go down to the food bank and work till 9, 10 o'clock? There's a lot of things that you've got to look at. And you know, it's going to be tough. It's also illness, you know, job loss, stuff like that will happen. Just because you're saved does not mean that you don't get that possibility. I mean, it happens. So once again, just because you're saved does not mean it's going to be easy. Paul saw that firsthand. I mean, he is probably the poster child of when you get saved, it's not actually going to make your life better, possibly. I mean, that's sadly how you got to look at it. But the other side is, if you're having a really great day, at least you're doing better than some other people, I guess. You can always look at it that way. Hey, I'm not in jail or chained to a Roman guard, you know? I mean, that's always a good day for me. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up. Once again, this is season 2. So every year is going to be a different season. So I started last year, so that's season 1. This is season 2, episode 1. So it's super. I'm great. I'm glad that we get to keep doing this ministry and putting it out there for people. So if you have any comments, you can email me at smalltownwithmattgaff@gmail.com or look me up on Facebook. Once again, Small Town with Matt Gaff. We are everywhere. You know, share this podcast with your friends. Let them know it's a good podcast if you like it. I appreciate the word of mouth and spreading it out. I look forward to having you come back home next Monday when we have our next episode. So until then, have a great week, and I'll see you later.